from, but we have our normal business first. So I'd like to officially call the meeting to order. I'm so happy to be together, and hopefully next year we're going to be together in person. I haven't met a lot of you in person. That would be amazing. We're going to start off with Phil Orland, who is on camera right now, with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Everybody put your hand over your heart and ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now we got ourselves a little bit more organized, and Patty has the roster, and she's going to do the roll call for us.
Very well, thank you. Laval Brewer. Linda Cardoza.
Present.
Meredith Chalamy.
Present.
Susan Doback.
Present.
Wonderful. Barry Geyer.
Present.
Margaret Huang.
Here.
Elizabeth Jimenez. Phil Mandeville. Irene Martinez.
Present.
Crystal Miles is absent. Patty Mouton is present. Ann Moudry.
Present.
Bill Orland.
Present.
Barbara Sloat.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Here.
Wonderful. And guests, I see Jean Hernandez, Nicolette Araujo. Do we have any other guests?
Patty. Okay. Patty, Sue Langley is here.
Sue Langley, okay. Wonderful. Great, thank you all very much.
Thank you. One little side note, Jenna, can you please make Sean and also Bill Liu co-hosts so when they're doing the presentations that they can share their screen?
Sure, I'll do so now.
Thank you so much. All right, well, we have a couple of folks that are new to us, both named Susan. So we have Susan Doback and Susan Langley. And I wanted to invite you both to do a brief introduction and welcome to Health and Nutrition.
Well, this is Sue Langley, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I'm kind of in the process, I hope, of applying to be on the committee. Mm-hmm. I am a retired teacher, and I now work at Saddleback Church in San Clemente. Working on basically health and nutrition, food pantries and deliveries and that sort of thing. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
We're so happy to have you here. And Saddleback Church has done such an amazing lift during this pandemic with all the pop-ups and opportunities. So give our thanks.
I will. I'll pass that on. Thank you.
All right. And Susan Doback. You're on mute.
Sorry, I am very happy to be here, and I had a career in the entertainment industry, a lot of fluff, I'm sorry, and marketing, more fluff, and I retired in 2005 and have been a busy volunteer in many, many organizations since then, and my husband suffered from Alzheimer's for 11 years, passed away in 2005, but I am growing old with a boyfriend and very happy to be here. So thank you very much for having me and welcoming me.
Oh, thank you both. It's so nice to have you both here. Jenna, do we have any other guests that you can see?
We do have two attendees, but typically we will open it up to them during public comment if you wanted to open that up now.
We'll wait then until public comment. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then our next agenda item is the Office on Aging update with Frank Hernandez. But I don't think that he has arrived, as far as I can tell. So we will move right along. And I would like to first thank again, Sean and Bill for being our guest speakers for today. We're so excited to hear from them. And we're going to first hear from Sean. He's the founder of Stronger You Academy, and he's an internationally renowned authority on fitness, weight management, and healthy living. You may have heard us chatting with him earlier about the Daniel Plan and the Burst Workout. He's a co-author of many books, and we are so excited to hear his take on fitness and especially older adult fitness. So welcome, Sean.
Thank you so much, Meredith. And can I shout out to Phil Orland for just inviting me. Thank you, Phil. Can you give Phil a round of applause, you guys?
Whoa. Yeah.
I have to agree with you. Phil is like the connector. He has the gift of networking and welcoming people and getting people to speak to each other that need to know each other. So thank you so much, Phil. And we're glad you're here, Sean.
He is the man. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks so much for the opportunity to share with you today. I have a slide deck. If it'd be okay, I can share that with you all. I'm going to take approximately 20, 30 minutes. Is that our time frame? I hope that you're open to learning something new about fitness. You guys up for it? Yeah. You up for a little bit of movement? Because I want to show you just a few things you can do throughout your day. One of the key things that we try to do in a lot of our work in corporate, but also for senior health, is to help them sit less and move more. That's important. Those two together, because we oftentimes talk about exercise, but we don't talk about sitting less. And I want to talk to you about that. So let me just pull up my PowerPoint presentation, and I promise you it's not as long as it looks, okay? I promise you that. I love this picture, and I just want to share with you that we're really going to be talking about creating strength, becoming a stronger you, really in multiple areas. But I just love this picture. This beautiful woman involved in an activity that she's loved her whole life, and to be able to continue to participate in this kind of activity, we need to be strong. And so one of the things that we really like to do when we talk about fitness and health is creating a stronger you, not just physically, but emotionally, financially, relationally, and spiritually. And also, believe it or not, a younger you, right? Because as we move our bodies, there isn't a greater intervention to our physical health. And also we're finding now our emotional well-being than movement, exercise. And we're going to talk a lot about that in detail. But I want to ask you guys before we even get started, I'd love to have you chime in on chat, because you know how these Zoom meetings can go, right? You can sit there and listen to this boring talking head, right? And I really just want you to be involved in this discussion. So if you guys wouldn't mind in chat, when you hear or see the word exercise, what comes to mind for you? Just first thought, shoot it in chat. I'd love to hear from you and see, what is it that you think about when it comes to exercise? And maybe we can read a couple of those as those come in. I don't know, Meredith, if you want to read those as they come in.
We have cardio, tiring, and work.
Good. Yep. Work. Good. Yep. Very common. All of us have
health.
Different connotations, different thoughts. They could be positive. They could be negative. And I love it. Thank you. Going to the gym, sweating, maybe. Extended longevity. Yep.
Yeah, those that's good.
All. So positive and negative. And I think the seniors that we're working with, I would venture to say, they have positive or negative connotations when they hear the word exercise, right? I want to reframe the word, and I want to help us all think of it as movement. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different idea. Let me share with you a little bit about behind that. So let's dive in. I want to share with you a little bit of the research that we've been doing, especially in the area of the aging process. This we know, that as we grow older, things change. We all know that, right? And one of the things that we notice are physically, we begin to see significant changes, for example, in our flexibility, our cardiovascular fitness, our coordination and strength begins to decline markedly. We also see bone density changes, and we also see body composition changes. So this is happening for all of us. And we also begin to see things like our metabolic rate decreasing 2 to 5% every 10 years past the age of 25, which is interesting. We slowly begin to see that change. And we also see balance changes, a significant change within the 30 to 70 and beyond, even more markedly. And then we also see functional fitness, just doing daily activities, simple things that we take for granted, like standing from a chair or feeding ourselves. we begin to lose some of these abilities as we get older. And the reason why, believe it or not, it's not necessarily due to the aging process. It truly is not. What accelerates it and what we've learned is it really is primarily related to sitting or being sedentary. Research shows that the average person is sitting anywhere from 7.7 to 15 hours per day. Some researchers are saying that we are sedentary up to 21 hours a day because of COVID. So you can imagine the impact that has had on our health and our well-being, not only physically, but also emotionally, as we're going to talk about. So sitting is a huge issue. And one of the things I mentioned earlier is our goal really with seniors and everyone is to help them really move more because we're moving less. And then also we're sitting more. We need to get up. We need to help them literally stand. Even just standing can be helpful. So I want to share with you three practical things that I hope are helpful for you and helping others as well. I want to share with you one quick story. I played football in college at Cal State Fullerton when we had a football team way back a long time ago. And I share this picture of Boise State. We were playing Boise State and I was on an inside blitz and I hurt my knee badly. I tore the ligaments so badly that it required surgery and I had to wear a cast, much like this one. This is not my leg, but it was just like it. Full leg cast from the top, from my hip all the way down to my ankle. I could not move this limb. It was terrible. But the worst part was not moving. The worst part was, I don't know if any of you have ever broken an arm or leg. The worst part was when I had an itch. Oh my goodness. If you've ever had that experience, I could not get to the itch. The cast was too tight on my leg. But I want to share with you, after not moving for 2 weeks, literally that limb is completely sedentary for 2 weeks, I literally could take my hand and I could go down to my mid thigh and scratch my leg. Now, 4 weeks later, I could literally take my arm and go all the way down to my knee. And by 6 to 8 weeks, I was able to take my entire arm, and I'm 19 years old at the time, I can take my entire arm and go all the way down to my ankle. Now, what was happening? It's called atrophy. My muscles were atrophying right before my eyes. I was in the best physical condition I could have been possibly just 8 weeks prior to this. And 8 weeks of being completely sedentary, my muscles deteriorated, but my metabolic rate changed. My body changed. I was depressed. I began to see emotional effects. So physically, I share this with you because I aged, I would venture to say, physically, 80 years, 80 years. I was 90, I was 19, but my limb, my leg was approximately 99 years old, physically. And I share that with you because I had a grandmother at the time who was 94 and she had much stronger and better looking legs than I did, truly. I couldn't stand on it. I couldn't bend it when my cast came off. It was like I had aged right before my eyes. And it woke me up to think, this is what's happening all around the county, around the state, around the country, around the world, when our seniors are sitting and they're doing nothing. We have to get them moving. And there are many things that we can do for them. I'm gonna share them with you. I share this picture with you because this is not my grandma, but look at how fit this young lady is, right? How strong she is. Oh my goodness. So it's not just the aging process. There's a lot we can do to prevent really the aging process. So bottom line, I just want to share this with you. When we lose muscle, we lose our health. And it's that serious. We really need to understand if we were to lay down for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, our fitness levels would drop significantly. And unfortunately, we're doing that most of our days. We're sitting for long periods of time. So here's the first step. This is what I want to share with you today. I want to share with you three strategies that I hope are helpful for you and the seniors that you work with. Strategy number one is make fitness simple. We've made it way too complicated. I call it the blah, blah, blah. I'm an exercise physiologist. I train people for a living. I do a lot of speaking in corporate events. And I got to tell you, we have complicated fitness. Things like, and you probably have all heard this, what is exercise? Well, it's aerobic activity. You need to do 20 to 60 minutes of regular aerobic activity, stay in your target heart rate zone. You also need to do 2 to 3 days a week of regular resistance training, and you need to stretch every day. Now, we all know that's good for us, It's true, it's good for us, but how many of us are doing it? Studies show 70% of Americans, 70% of us are not performing just the standard basic exercise guidelines. So 7 out of 10 of us. And that accelerates even more so with seniors. So how do we change this? The first thing is to help seniors specifically increase their self-efficacy. And what self-efficacy is, Dr. Albert Bandura from Stanford University coined the phrase of your confidence in your ability to complete a task. So if I were to say to you all, how many of you are confident enough today that you can exercise for 30 minutes just today? Many of you would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably a 10, I could do that. But what if I said, I would like you to do that every day this week? Now your confidence may go down a little bit. And what if I were to say, I'd also like you to do this for the month or the year? Your confidence is gonna shrink. What we found and what I discovered personally was I was asking people to reach those really lofty ideas and their confidence was not there. I'll never forget a woman, I met her when I was speaking. Her name was Annie. She came up to me after talk and she said, Sean, I've lost the same 60 pounds multiple times. I've lost it, I've gained it, I've lost it, I've gained it. I've tried to exercise. She knew more about fitness and nutrition than I did, I think. She had read every book. She had gone to seminars. But she said to me, this very fact was, I'm so busy, I don't have time to do it. And that's a common barrier. But I think part of the issue is, we've created this idea that if you don't go to the gym, or if you don't do it for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, it's not exercise. That's not true. Believe it or not, 1 minute of movement can be considered exercise. I'm gonna show you this in just a moment. So for example, this is really a great takeaway. A little exercise is better than no exercise. A little bit of movement is better than no movement. Standing periodically throughout your day is better than sitting all day. It really is. But moving throughout your day is even more beneficial. So I wanna show you guys a movement. Can I do this with you? Would you guys mind standing up? Go ahead and stand up where you are, if you want to. You don't have to, but I'd love for you to experience this. Let me go back, sorry. I'd love for you just to experience this. So Dr. BJ Fogg from Stanford University is a brilliant researcher. I would highly recommend his book, Tiny Habits, beautiful book. But what he discovered was when you want to create a new behavior, you have to start with an anchor habit. And what an anchor habit is, something that you're used to doing, that you do automatically. For example, how about this, everybody? This morning, you brushed your teeth, hopefully. Yeah, you all brushed your teeth, right? That's an anchor habit. We wake up, we brush our teeth, right? And this evening, tonight, before you go to bed, you'll pick up your toothbrush and you'll brush your teeth. Sorry, it's a pin, but just right idea, right? What I'd like you to do right now, if you please play along with me, pretend you have a toothbrush in your hand and I want you just to brush your teeth, okay? So tonight, when you brush your teeth, I would love for you to try this. All I want you to do now, as you're brushing your teeth, is I want you to lift your right leg like you see in the picture. Now you don't have to lift it as high, but I want you to lift your right leg off the ground just a little bit. If you feel like you don't have enough balance, you can place your hand on a chair, feel free to do that, or on a desk, perfectly fine. But this is what we've discovered. Hold that for 10 seconds. And again, if you want to put your hand on a chair, just hold that for 10 seconds. That's all I want you to do. Notice your ankle, notice your leg, notice your abdominal muscles. You are actually strengthening your abdominal wall and your hip. Now, lower your right leg, lift your left leg now, do the other side. You're gonna notice your balance is better on one side. Watch, you'll notice you may be a little bit rocky. Now, over time, if you're able, you can brush your teeth as you're doing this. So here's my first assignment. Today, tonight, I'd love to hear from you guys, Meredith. I'd love to hear how many of you just did this for 1 minute. 30 seconds on your right leg, 30 seconds on your left leg. This is exercise. This is movement. We've got to get our seniors understanding it can be this simple. Now, for seniors, we're going to want to give them the support of a chair. We're going to ask them maybe to do it after they brush their teeth, right? So there are some different ways that we can really progress their balance. But here's what I need to help you understand that I did not really know until I studied this. The smallest of movements can have a profound effect if we do them consistently. If we did this daily, your neuromuscular control and balance would improve drastically, dramatically. we don't talk enough about that. So for seniors, we really want to make it simple. Let's try this move, this little activity. Let's not talk about walking for 30 minutes or 60 minutes. That's overwhelming for people. So that's our first move. Secondly, how do we make fitness work, especially for seniors? I love this picture. It's making it fitness personal. It's making it something that's fun, something that we enjoy, right? And I want to just ask you a couple of questions if you guys don't mind. Well, I love this question, right? What's the best exercise? It's the one we'll do, right? I mean, we can have all this information, but the best exercise is the one that we'll do. So if it's walking and you love to walk, that's it. But we need to help people gain that confidence. And so I want to lead you with a couple of thoughts. Here's some questions I would really encourage you to ask your seniors. What type of activity do you enjoy? Here's a really good question. What makes you smile? And a question that's not up there that you may want to write down or just remember, what did you love to do as a child? Just allow them to dream and think about. Now, they may be physically impaired and they may have difficulty, but just to have those memories, because this we know, physical motion dramatically impacts our emotion. If we want to help seniors feel better, there is no greater intervention than moving, than just physically moving their bodies. Just doing even just deep breathing can help improve our mood. I'm going to prove it to you in just a second, okay? And then the last one is, what do you look forward to? Like, what can our seniors look forward to? What if we did something as a group that they could look forward to, an activity that they would enjoy? Even this conversation they may look forward to. Like, yeah, I can gain strength back. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. So I want to show you this picture. What a beautiful picture. I don't know how many of you, and you can raise your hand if you want to, how many of you love to jump rope when you were a little girl or a little boy? You know, I don't know. Maybe for some of you it was hopscotch, but think of the memories of the joy that you had. Okay, exercise number two, stand up for me, guys. Okay, try this though. If you want to stay seated, you can, because you can do this seated, and I do this with seniors as well, especially for those who are not able to stand. So for some of you, if you want to stand, for some of you, you may want to sit and just imagine what it feels like. All I want you to do right now is pretend that you have two jump rope handles in your hand. Put your rope behind your back, okay? And all I want you to do first, don't move your legs, just move your hands, just move your arms, just like this, a little rotation, like you're turning the rope around your back, okay? Just like that. Now, what I want you to do, especially if you're sitting and also if you're standing, I want you to keep your hands a little bit lower, down towards your waist. And all I want you to do is to come up on the balls of your feet. Okay, just raise up on your heels. You're not gonna jump. All you're gonna do is raise up on your heels. So up and down. And what you're doing here is a little bit of a balance movement and a little bit of a strength movement. Okay, you guys ready? I'm gonna put some music on and we're gonna do this together. Are you guys ready? And this is the one thing you have to do. You've gotta do it with a smile on your face. Okay, you ready, guys? Yep, give me a thumbs up if you're ready for it. Yep, okay, so I'll pick a good song. You guys ready? Hopefully you can hear this. You ready? Okay, guys, put those ropes behind you. Here we go, just 15 seconds. Don't jump. Again, you can stay seated. Good. Now, you can cross it up if you want to. You can do to the side. Good job. Oh, you guys look good. Well done, keep it going. Remember, you gotta smile the whole time. Here we go, guys, let's get to the chorus. We're almost there. Oh yeah, we're happy. Good job. You probably didn't think you were gonna be doing this today, right? Well done, and relax. Good job, and you can stop. Okay, can I get a big high five from all you guys? Way to go, good job. That simple, you can do it in a chair, and put on some music. Allow them to remember what it was like to do jump roping. Just this motion without even moving your legs is going to increase your circulation. It's going to, again, emotion, physical motion dramatically impacts emotion. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel just a little bit better right now? Just because we did that, just a little bit of motion, 30 seconds, it's profound. Because of time, I'm just going to move on. But this is the key, guys. If there was a reason to move, it's not even for the physiological benefits. It's for this, to be happier. Oh my gosh. Whew. The impact COVID has had on the senior population is overwhelming. I'm emotional right now because I think of my mom. My mom's 92 in July. The impact it has had on people is overwhelming. We've got to find a way to get them to experience hope again. And that is primarily motion can do that, is one of the best. I find it's like a secret door. You get people moving, all of a sudden they start talking and they start remembering. It's like a counseling session. It's phenomenal. Okay, last one, guys. How are we doing, Meredith, on time? We okay? 5 more minutes, okay? Yeah? Okay, strategy number 3. And this one's really important. Make fitness purposeful. Many people exercise to look better or to fit into a pair of pants or a blouse. Those are all good reasons, but they're not the best reasons. And let me share with you what I mean by that. I wanted to share with you an author, and I would highly, highly recommend this author in this book. If you've not read it, it's called Strong Women Stay Young by Dr. Miriam Nelson. It is a phenomenal book on really how to slow down the aging process by getting seniors to do strength training or resistance training. Simple apparatuses like every senior center should have resistance tubing in them. There's no reason why we shouldn't be using tools like this because they're safe and they strengthen. Now look at what Dr. Nelson says, guys. This is an amazing quote. She said, studies have shown unequivocally that strength training is the fountain of youth, that we all need to be doing resistance type of activity, simple little movements that I'll show you. And she said this, I love this. There's no doubt that a woman or a man as well of any age, whether she's 45, 65, or 95, can really turn back the biological clock with strength training. So we need to help seniors do resistance training. And a couple of those things I'm gonna share with you in just a moment. But here's the story I wanna tell you. One of my first clients was a woman by the name of Doreen. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, overweight, hated to exercise, hated it, just didn't want to do it. And I got to talking to her about her why. And I wasn't even aware of it at the time, but she started telling me like her reasons to exercise. I'm going to come back to her story in just a second. But these are some questions you may want to consider asking your seniors. Number one, if you could instantly change one thing about your health and fitness, what would it be? And I'd ask you that question. If there were one thing that you could change, what would you change? But here's the real question. It's not what you would change. The bigger question is, why do you want to change it? Why do you want to lose weight? Why do you want to improve your blood pressure? Why do you want to lower your cholesterol level? Why? We need to connect to that deeper meaning and purpose in our life. And I won't go into too much depth, but similarly with this question, what would you do with your newfound fitness and health if you were able to improve it? Why? Why would you want to be healthy and fit? What's your reason? We have to help seniors tap into this deeper reason. And I love this question. And this is a really good question that we all can think about. What's one thing that you can do that you may not be doing that if you did it on a regular basis, you know it would make a significant difference in your health and fitness? I can tell you right now, Dr. Nelson is absolutely right. It's resistance training. If we just did regular resistance training, it will profoundly impact our mobility and our ability to move more and sit less. So we really need to help our seniors do simple strength movements. And I'll show you just a couple in just a second. So I would encourage you, and again, this is something I've worked with Phil on, we've done lectures in many settings on this, is helping seniors connect with their deeper why. Guys, I gotta say, as I'm aging, our why changes, but it's something that we need to connect to. And we need to ask ourselves, what is my greater purpose in life? Why was I put here on this earth? And those are questions, those are very existential questions. But for many seniors, there, and for many people, many of us during COVID, we've lost that sense of purpose. So we ask people to write down their why. And here's a couple. I want to be a fit grandma. I love this one. I want to be healthy and fit to reach my life goals. That's good. You're connecting your fitness with your goals. This person said, I'm a doctor and I want to help as many people as I can. And I love this one. I want to be my kid's hero. Great why. Beautiful why. Do you see how it's much greater than just looking good and feeling good? And we have to help them find this. I love this one. This is my pastor, John. We went to a men's retreat one time. We were standing in our food line. And I remember him looking at me and he said, Sean, I want to lose about 40 pounds. And before I could say anything, he said, let me tell you why. And I'm like, okay, pastor, go to it. And this is what he said. He said this, guys. He said, I want to share God's love with as many people as I can, as long as I can. Now, whether you're faith-based or not, think about that. He was connecting his calling with his health and fitness in a powerful way. That's what we need to do for seniors. We need to help them think about their greater purpose in life. It could be just to be the best grandma, granddad that I can for my grandkids. That's a powerful why to help them move more. So because of lack of time, we help people find their word, their phrase, their sentence, their why, and put it on their desk stand. I would encourage you to try this. Put it next to your bed, put it in your office, at home, wherever, because it reminds us of why we're eating well, we're moving more, we're managing our stress. It's very important. So Doreen, guess what? This is my mom. She's gonna be 92 in July. I love this woman. Oh my gosh, you guys. If she didn't start exercising, guys, I don't think she'd be here. I really don't. And the impact she has had on my life, and I'll show you one other picture, the impact she has had on my kids' lives.
Wow.
Right? That my mom didn't think about it when, you know, years ago that she started exercising, but now the fruit of that is unbelievable. So I'm going to leave you guys with this quote. The two most important days in our life are the day we are born and the day we find out why. Mark Twain said it best. And I think fitness and purpose need to connect. And when they do, watch out. So I just will tell you guys, we have a ton of burst workouts that we teach people on, just a simple movement, like just doing air boxing, just doing this motion in a chair. Seniors can do that for 30 seconds, even just this simple chair squat, like sitting down and standing up. Do this for me right now, guys. This will be, I promise you, the last thing I'll ask you to do. Stand up for me just for a second. Just stand up. Don't get comfortable, okay? I want you to sit back down. And stay there, okay? Stand back up one more time. I know you're probably looking at me like, what is he doing? And then sit back down. Now, do you know what you just did? You just did two squats. You just did strength training, guys, right now. So what if we did this? Every hour or every other hour, we remind seniors to get up and sit down. They did maybe do five of those, but guess what? Throughout the day, they may have done 40 or 50 repetitions. That's strength training. That makes a difference. So you can tell I'm pretty passionate about this. It makes a big difference. So I'll just leave you guys with this, that if you need anything, here's my email. It's sean@personallyfit.com. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to help. Meredith, I hope that was helpful.
Oh my gosh. We got comments in the chat that you gave an infectious presentation, very fun and inspirational. Thank you so much. We do have a few minutes, if you have time, Sean, for people to be able to interact with you and ask questions.
Sean, I have a question.
I know the first one will be right.
Very important to me. Through no fault of their own, people have physical impairments as they age.
Yes.
And it's, as you know, very depressing. Deal with a stroke, to deal with breathing, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know, just things on a daily basis they have to go through. Their body changes.
Mm-hmm.
How do we encourage those people to get some kind of exercise? Because, you know, they still have life.
Yes. No, absolutely, Phil. You know, Phil, I'll share with you a couple of things that may be helpful. One would just be even visualizing fitness. Believe it or not, there's studies to show if you picture yourself doing exercise, it actually improves and helps from a cognitive standpoint. So you actually think differently, you feel better. So just thinking about exercise can actually be very beneficial. And even taking them to a place of meditation is very helpful. Obviously, that's much more on the psychological and the well-being side. But what I would do, Phil, is start moving into ideally helping them to consider things like breathing, like deep breathing. That's the first step. And then begin to start finding out what's their baseline. If we did an assessment with them, what are some of the things that we know we can help them to move? So even if it's a finger, if it's a hand, if it's an arm, we want to slowly progress them to where they're beginning to gain efficacy, gain confidence. I'll share this with you. I think this is really interesting. Dr. B.J. Fogg discovered the best way to ingrain habits in a person's life is to actually help them celebrate. So In other words, when we just did our little exercise in there, high-fiving each other, way to go, believe it or not, standing up when you wake up in the morning, or feel for an individual that wakes up in the morning, teaching them to say, it's going to be a great day. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you, Dr. Fogg challenges people to do this. Before your feet hit the floor, say to yourself, today's going to be a great day. Now, don't get me wrong, guys, because it's been tough. COVID's been tough. It's been hard. You may like not feel like saying it, but research shows just by thinking that or saying that, because Phil, they may not be able to even verbally say it, to think it, today's going to be a great day, actually will profoundly help their brain. So if we want to get to that level, just helping them strengthen their brain, because remember, it's all about strength training. We want to help them improve their strength physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, and spiritually. So when we talk strength training, we're not just talking physical. We're not just talking doing squats, right? We're talking about the whole person. So I would really encourage you to help them begin to dream, begin to think that they can begin to visualize this type of activity. We've done this with seniors and it really helps them, especially emotionally. They're not as depressed. They're starting to have hope again. And that's what we really need to bring back for them. I hope that helps. Yeah.
Nicolette also has her hand up.
Thank you so much, Meredith. Sean, thank you. That was wonderful. The minute you came on and started talking, I grabbed a box. I put it under my laptop so I could stand and walk around while I was listening to you. And, you know, it is amazing. My butt gets sore sitting at my desk all day. So thank you for that inspiration. Question to you. Do you work with senior living communities in coming in and doing workshops?
You know, we do workshops all around the country, and obviously that's been taken, it's on a hiatus right now. We've been doing virtual trainings for sure. We haven't done specifically for seniors, but we work very closely with LACERS in LA County.
I'm very familiar. I've done presentations for them before. They're great.
Yeah, so we've done a ton of presentations with them. Phil, how long has it been? Like at least 8 years?
At least 8 years. Yeah, and it's actually LA City, not county.
Yeah, I was telling Meredith, one of my desires, because of my mom, my heart is really towards seniors now, especially as I look at my mom and what I can do to help her. So that's something that's really near and dear to our heart. So let us know how we can help you.
Terrific. I'd love to reach out. My mother's 96, by the way. Oh, and so I understand completely, and I would love to see her moving some more. So thank you for that.
You bet. Thank you.
We also had a question in the chat. If you could say the title of the book again that you shared.
Yes, Strong Women Stay Young by Dr. Miriam Nelson. Ladies, especially for women, but it is for men. A different book for men, Biomarkers by Dr. David Rothenberg is a phenomenal book for men. But guys, honestly, this book, Strong Women Stay Young, you can apply everything that's in it. Dr. Nelson was doing research on osteopenia, which is the precursor to osteoporosis. And what she discovered was in giving women this, and again, as she studied women in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, she was researching women doing strength training and she was looking at bone density specifically. She was blown away by the impact it was having on other areas, metabolic health, just you name it. I mean, as far as just physiologically, the entire body was changing. People were getting younger. That's what blew her away, like physically younger. They were able to do, literally, individuals that were dependent upon a walker were throwing the walkers away. I mean, you got to read this book. It's unbelievable. And it just shows us that we have really, I think in many ways in this country and others, just determined that as we get older, we need to stop moving. It's not true. Mm-hmm. We actually age faster because we stop moving.
Right.
So again, it's not really even an aging issue. It's really a movement issue that we need to get people moving safely though, right? Really important. It needs to be safe. It needs to be, to Phil's point, we can't throw things on people, especially we want to give them wins. We want to give them something that they can feel that celebration that they can do. So I hope that helps.
Wonderful.
Can you please repeat your three strategies? I'm too busy listening to you writing. I kind of skipped. What is balance, and what's the second strategy?
Yeah, so if I remember correctly, second strategy is make fitness personal. Make fitness personal.
What's the third one then?
Make fitness purposeful.
Well, that's what
why.
Yeah, yeah. And thank when you. I say personal, I mean make it fun. Make it something that you love and you want to do. So that may take some research and finding what you like, but remember, it doesn't have to be in a gym. I think if we've learned anything from COVID is that people can still stay fit without a gym. You can. And literally one thing that you guys probably can see, I'm standing right now in my desk. Mm-hmm. I have a standing desk, probably the best investment I've ever made for my health, honestly. If you're sitting most of the day and you're working most of the day, I would highly recommend getting a standing desk. Okay. Just standing from your desk alone, just doing that, research shows you can decrease your fatigue by 65%.
Wow.
By just standing, not moving. So most of my day is, like Meredith and I were talking about, I'm doing Zoom sessions, right? I'm doing workshops and lectures. So I'd much rather be in person, but I've discovered, so I was telling Meredith, I started writing a lot, and here, get this, you guys. I was a fitness trainer, moving all the time, and then I was being asked to write about exercise. So here I was now sitting on my butt, writing about getting off your butt, right? And I realized it was an epiphany. I thought, okay, I need to stand up. And I did one squat, and then I did two, and then I did 10. And then I thought, what if I did 10 squats every hour of my workday? That's 80 squats at the end of the day. I thought, okay, this is something I need to start thinking about. So really that minute move, that micro movement, really helped me to understand that we can teach this to other people. We can help others.
So really wonderful. Thank you so much, Sean. Let's give Sean a round of applause. That was a lot of fun and very informative.
Thank you, guys.
You made our day. Thank you so much. And you're welcome to go if you need to or stay if you're able to, but we loved having you here.
Of course, you have to run. And thank you, Phil. I love you, buddy.
Who is the author of the one for the man, the exercise biomarker for men? What's the author?
If I remember correctly, Margaret, it's Dr. David Rothenberg.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, but if you Google biomarkers, it should pull up for you. Really good.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great day, Sean.
You have a wonderful way of presenting the old exercise phenomenal. I think I loved it.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, guys. All the best.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, now we are going to have our second presentation by Bill Liu. Bill is a certified geriatric pharmacist. And Bill, you should know that when we were making our schedule at the very beginning of the year, you were the fan favorite. And people said, we have to have him come and present because what he shares is so valuable. So we're really, really happy to have you here and have you speaking about what science says about vitamin D and bone health and anything else that might come up COVID related. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Meredith. First of all, I want to apologize. I don't know what happened when I was doing some of those exercises. Sean said I hit something, and I don't know how I'm appearing there for you guys, if you can see me or not.
Yeah, you're kind of like enmeshed with the Golden Gate Bridge.
Exactly. I don't know what happened. I touched something. And so I can either stop the video and you can just listen to my voice. We could try that.
It's fine. It's fine.
Okay?
Yeah.
Great. And if Sean is still here, Sean, I just hate following people like you. Now you got everybody awake and all pumped up. Thank you for doing that, only to have me put them back to sleep.
No.
So
no.
That was a really, whoops. Oh, I see. It says you disable my screen sharing. That's why I can't share the screen.
Uh-oh. Jenna, okay. Are you able to allow Dr. Liu to share again?
No, I still cannot share the screen.
Hmm.
It says host disabled the participant screen sharing.
Yeah. Let me send her a message. I'm sorry.
Okay.
To Jenna.
In the meantime, let me just say that Meredith, I took the liberty of changing the title of the presentation's content just a little bit. Sure. I'm going to talk about vitamin D and its correlation to COVID-19 to make it a little more timely. But I do need to share my screen. Please to share my PowerPoint. It won't let me do that.
Let's see. Do you want to show that Jenna's here?
Meredith, I wonder if he logs out and logs back in again. I know he said—
Yes, I did, because when I jumped up to—
That's what happened. And we need Jenna, who's the host, to enable you to share your screen again.
Right.
Meredith, did she make you co-host?
Yes, I am co-host.
Okay, down at the bottom, you'll see it says share screen.
Yes.
Hit that and let him in. Or share screen, hit that button and put him on.
Meredith, this is Jenna. I'm here. I've already made him a co-host, so he should have the availability.
Thank
you so much.
There we go. Okay.
You can share
your screen. Thank you very much.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Perfect. Great. Good. So can everybody see that screen?
Yes.
See the slides? Perfect. All right. So my objectives today are to just give you a brief overview of vitamin D, and then a very brief overview of COVID-19. Everybody's probably heard enough about that. And then what the science says about COVID-19 and vitamin D. So let's start with just a very brief overview of vitamin D. As you all know, it's one of the four fat-soluble vitamins. The other three are A, E, and K. And some of the characteristics of vitamin D are that it is one of the four fat-soluble vitamins. It is not just a vitamin, and this is very unique to vitamin D, because it is also a hormone. So it does have other characteristics as a hormone. And it's, of course, made in the body after exposure to UVB rays sunlight. And once the sun makes the vitamin D on our skin and is absorbed into the bloodstream, the liver has to hydroxylate it once to activate it. And then the kidneys hydroxylate it the second time to make it into the real active form. And it's really not a vitamin because it's not freely found in many foods. So many foods fortify the food with the vitamin. You can see that in trout and in salmon, there's quite a bit of vitamin D, but in other foods, like even in milk, it needs to be fortified. So they add vitamin D to it. That also is one reason why it's not truly a vitamin, because vitamins are freely found in different foods. So what are the three ways that we can get vitamin D into ourselves? That is, once is through the sun, then of course through food, not the best way. And so we have to then rely upon dietary supplements, of which there are a ton on the market, and they all absorb very well. So it's very easy to bring your blood level up for vitamin D. And speaking of blood levels then, how much do we need of vitamin D? The NIH is very conservative, and it is broken down by age. And you can see that for 51-year-olds on up, it's about 600 units, over 70 years, about 800 units. But actually, even taking up to 2,000 a day is fairly safe. I'll give you some caveats in just a minute. And if you look at the blood levels, in this country, we use nanograms per milliliter as our unit of measure. If you're below 12 in blood level, you seriously are deficient and need to bring that back up. If you're up around 50, that's probably good, but anything too much higher than 50, you also need to become very careful, because too much of anything can also be bad. and notice that there's another measurement there, 150 nanomoles per liter. European countries and some other foreign countries, they measure vitamin D level in the blood with nanomoles, whereas we use nanograms. So that's the difference there. Now, who should not just go out and get vitamin D without their physician's consult? And that is some people with certain very rare conditions like sarcoidosis, granulomatous disease, and other kidney issues. They should consult their physicians first before taking vitamin D. Now, some groups of people will be low in vitamin D, like breastfed infants, because mother's milk has very little D in it. So they usually are given some drops of vitamin D in addition. Older adults, 1 in 2 will be low in vitamin D, because as we get older, our skin gets less efficient at absorbing vitamin, absorbing the UVB rays from the sun and make the vitamin D. And of course, people in parts of the world where there's very limited sun exposure, 6 to 8 months of the year, people with dark skin, people with conditions that limit fat absorption, and people who've had bypass surgery, all these types of people are going to also be very readily vitamin D deficient. Okay. Now, one absolute proven fact that vitamin D can do for us is that is to mineralize the bone, to make the bone a stronger bone and more resistant to fracture, and to maintain adequate and a normal calcium and phosphate level in our blood. Those are undisputed benefits of vitamin D. However, if you look at all the studies out there, they show that vitamin D may play a role in certain types of cancer, in cardiovascular disease, in depression, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, and even in weight loss. Those studies are ongoing right now. And so we cannot then at this time say that they truly are helpful for those conditions. So that is a very brief overview of vitamin D. Now, let's talk very briefly about COVID-19. The name COVID-19 came from the World Health Organization. It's an acronym for coronavirus infectious disease that happened in 2019. And it's caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That is an acronym for severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus, which is that family of viruses, type 2. And you can see that this virus has a very unique formation, and that is those corona spikes. And thank God for those spikes, which is both good and bad, because the spikes is what that virus needs to penetrate into our cells, whether it's the lung, the heart, or wherever it's going to attack us. It's those spikes that facilitate the penetration. So our scientists are even smarter. They now then have developed the vaccines to recognize just the spikes and not the whole virus, because the whole virus then, of course, is pathogenic. But the spikes themselves are not. So when you get the, whether it's the Moderna, Pfizer, or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it's only looking for those spikes to then form the antibodies to go and destroy this virus. And that's what makes the vaccine pretty safe, in the sense that it's not giving you any type of virus other than the genetic code to make those spikes, so that when the real virus shows up with the spikes, the antibodies are already there to destroy it. Okay, so this will be on the quiz for you to tell me how the vaccines work. Okay, so when a person then is infected with the SARS and CoV-2 virus, you will then get the disease. However, when you get the disease, It can come in five flavors. You may be totally asymptomatic. You show no symptoms. You don't even know you have that disease. You would be what they call the asymptomatic spreader. Or you may have the mild disease. You may have just a little bit of fatigue, a little bit of a fever. A couple of days later, you bounce right back. Or you may have moderate disease, a little more severe. Or you may get severe disease. This is going to make you want to look for a hospital because you cannot breathe properly. You're so tired, you can't get out of bed, and so on. And then, of course, that can all progress on to death. And the main ways coronavirus disease is transmitted, the transmission occurs from person to person through respiration, the droplets. That is the principal way. That's why masking is so important. The CDC has just said that the second way that we used to think it could spread readily was through touching contaminated surfaces. That is still possible, but not as much as through respiratory droplets. And like we said earlier, this disease is so insidious because transmission can occur from people who don't know they're carrying it. And of course, here are some of the most common symptoms, which I'm sure you've all heard of and know and are very familiar with. The way the World Health Organization classifies how severe your disease is how many of those symptoms you have at the same time. Okay, now, there are certain risk factors, of course, as we all know, age being one, certain underlying conditions. And as time marches on, we are learning more and more about this condition. Okay. So that is a very brief overview of COVID-19. Now let's see what the science says about the relationship about vitamin D and COVID-19. I should say that a whole bunch of other supplements have been proposed, like vitamin C, adequate amounts of that, zinc, and other nutrients like that. But the evidence to show that they can do anything to slow the spread or the infection of COVID is not, that data just is not as robust as what the data is for vitamin D. Okay, so it can't hurt if you want to supplement a little bit with zinc or with vitamin C, but the evidence for vitamin D is the strongest that is out there. The first study I want to talk about happened way back in 2009. This is before COVID, of course. This is back in the good old days when we could shake hands, hug each other, go out to dinner, travel and all that before the pandemic. We knew back then, as this study showed, that when your vitamin D blood level is low, there's an association with higher incidence of catching colds and flu. And this study showed that 19,000 people were looked at, and the results are, if the blood level of vitamin D is extremely low at 10. Remember, we want to be at about 30. There was a 25% recent upper respiratory tract infection. Okay. If your blood level of vitamin D is between 11 and 29, the percent chance of catching upper respiratory tract infection dropped to about 20%. But if your vitamin D level was 30 or higher, you only had a 17% chance of coming down with upper respiratory tract infections. So when COVID appeared last year, our scientists remembered this study, and scientists all over the world said, well, let's take a look at vitamin D levels in COVID-19 and what is the relationship there. So, before I go to that slide, as far as upper respiratory tract infection, I need to point out something very important here, and that is the level of vitamin D in the blood has a possible association. That's a key word. It's not causation, but an association. And for statistical purposes and for the scientists, this is a very important word. In other words, we are not sure that vitamin D, the low level, can cause an upper respiratory tract infection, but whenever your vitamin D level is low in the blood, there's a good chance you will get some kind of upper respiratory tract infection. Okay, so that's the difference between causation and association. Okay. Dr. Roger Seholt is a very famous researcher out of UC Riverside. He's an expert, board certified in pulmonology, critical care, internal medicine, sleep studies, and so on. And he assembled some very good studies that are going on all over the world that looked at vitamin D blood levels and COVID-19 infection. The first study he showed was 20 European countries back in April of 2020, exactly a year ago. They took all the citizens who came down with COVID-19 and looked at how many cases there were based upon the blood level of vitamin D, okay? So if you look at this first slide, the incidence of vitamin D per million in population versus the blood level of how high vitamin D was in the blood at the time of infection. Each blue dot represents one of the 20 countries. So if you look at the number 60 on the y-axis, you'll see that everything to the left of it, there are much more blue dots with higher incidence of infection per million. Okay, and as your vitamin D levels got higher moving to the right, the blue dots became much lower on the y-axis, showing that the incidence of infection with COVID per million population was lower. Okay, and the same was true with mortality. If you look at the death rates per million in population, it's very similar. In other words, if you look at this axis here, which is the number of deaths per million of population, and this axis is how high the blood level is. Once again, if you look at the number 60, everything to the left, you can see is higher deaths per million because the blood level of vitamin D is lower, okay? Then he looked at another study that was done in Switzerland. This is a very small study that looked at 107 people who were hospitalized in Switzerland for symptoms that resembled COVID-19, all right? And so if you looked at the number, the breakdown, out of the 107 people who had those symptoms, people who were high in vitamin D level had a lower positivity testing for COVID-19. In other words, 80 of them who had adequate levels of vitamin D had no COVID, but 27 who had very low levels of vitamin D, under 20 in blood, remember that's very low, had COVID-19. So this also shows that blood level of vitamin D can maybe stave off COVID-19, all right? The Israelis also conducted a study. They looked at one of their health plans that had 14,000 subscribers. And out of those 14,000, 6,000 did not have a vitamin D blood level test, so they excluded them. Of the remaining 7,800 patients, those only 10%, those in red, tested positive for COVID-19 because their blood levels of vitamin D were low, whereas those in the blue, almost 90%, did not test positive because they had adequate levels of vitamin D. Mm-hmm. This is a more believable study than the one from Switzerland. If nothing else, because of the numbers, we're looking at 14,000 subjects here, or at least 7,000 subjects, as opposed to only 107. Okay. And then here is one more study. There were 105 patients, and this study is applicable to older adults because everybody here was over 65 years of age. And one third, or about 35% of them, proved negative to COVID-19 because their vitamin D levels were very high. They were above 50. 70 of them, or two-thirds of them, tested positive for COVID-19 because their vitamin D levels in the blood were very low. They were all around 27. And those who tested positive in this study, what's really worrisome is they would probably go on to have much more complications, because what I circled there in red showed that their D-dimer marker was very high at 1900, meaning that their risk for forming blood clots with COVID was very high. And 12 of them out of 39 required to be put on a ventilator, as opposed to those who had high levels. Those who had higher levels of vitamin D had much lower need to be placed on the ventilator, and their D-dimer marker was much lower, meaning their risk for forming a blood clot was much lower. Okay. So in summary then, the studies definitely show that there is an association. Once again, it's not causation, but an association between the blood levels of vitamin D and COVID-19 infection, morbidity, and mortality. So putting it in other words, if your blood level for vitamin D is low, your chance of becoming infected and infected with symptoms, which is morbidity, and infected with chance of dying is much higher than those who had vitamin D levels at optimal levels, which is close to 50 nanograms per liter. But we are still talking here about an association and not causation. To be able to say that vitamin D levels can cause what I just said, we would need much more sophisticated scientific testing at the highest levels, such as randomized placebo-controlled clinical trials on larger numbers of people. And some of those studies have already started. So it's not a bad idea during this COVID season to maybe make sure that your vitamin D level is as close to 50 as possible. You don't do that on your own. You should first talk to your physician to make sure you're not in one of those groups I mentioned earlier who should not be supplementing with vitamin D, because too much vitamin D can also raise havoc. It can cause too much calcium in your blood. It can calcify soft tissue. It can damage kidneys and so on. And if your doctor then gives you the green light to go ahead and supplement with vitamin D, he should tell you how much to take And then maybe every 6 months, you should go back to him to get a blood test to make sure your vitamin D level is hovering right around 50 and not going too much above it. Okay, so that very briefly is what I have to say about what the science currently says about the association between vitamin D and COVID-19. I'll be happy to entertain a question or two.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Liu. This has been amazing.
Pleasure.
And I have to say that I haven't heard about this association before as part of our public health messaging. So I was really interested in hearing about it today. And I will open it up to see who else has questions. And they can ask questions about other things as well, correct? Dealing with prescriptions and medications.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
Yes.
Yes.
Margaret.
Can you explain that vitamin D, OH means hydroxy, means it went through the liver and the kidney, converted to active form?
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you, Margaret. There are two more steps when you take vitamin D, either through supplement, which is D3 that you probably will be buying, or when you ingest it from food, or when the sun makes it by baking your skin. All that type of vitamin D is still not active. The body needs to hydroxylate it twice. By hydroxylation, we mean chemically to add an OH group. The liver does it the first step because the bloodstream goes to the liver first. And then from the liver, it then goes to the kidneys and it adds a second OH group. Now you have the active form of vitamin D, which causes bone mineralization, regulates calcium and phosphate in the blood, and so on. Until that second step is done, your vitamin D is not active yet. That is why people with kidney problems, the doctors will give you by prescription, because this only comes by prescription, the active form of vitamin D, and this way your kidneys don't have to do that second step. Why is it by prescription? It's because you can go overboard with that type of vitamin, and now you're going to be calcifying blood and so on, and soft tissue.
So that this means just being activated form then?
That's correct. Your liver activates it the first time, your kidneys activated the second time. Now you have the active form that your body made. And that's another reason we consider vitamin D a hormone as well, because there is probably only one other vitamin that your body can make in very small amounts. All the other vitamins your body cannot make. You have to ingest it. You have to take it in from foods.
Which one is that?
Well, next up we have Nicolette with her hand raised, and then after her, Anne.
Okay, thank you.
Nicolette, do you have a question?
About that. Yep, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Liu. That was a very interesting presentation. I just want to clarify one point. There are vitamins that I understand that if you take too much of them, basically your body just rejects it and in essence you pee it out. But yes. I'm hearing you say that vitamin D may not be that type of a vitamin, and that's why we need to regularly get our blood tested. Is that correct?
Yes, that is very true. Remember, there are four fat-soluble vitamins. And you are absolutely right. All four of them linger in the body longer. So especially vitamin A is very dangerous if you take too much of it. Okay. When you go home, if you're taking vitamins at this time, mm-hmm. take a look at your vitamin bottle and you'll see that the good vitamins don't give you vitamin A completely as vitamin A. Mm. Because too much vitamin A will start accumulating. It's been implicating speeding up osteoporosis, wow, and liver damage and other problems. Now, the other two vitamins that are water soluble, you're right. Generally, there's no risk of overdosing on them. You'll probably get extremely nauseous. You'll probably throw it up first before, if you take too much of it. And those are vitamin C and the 13 forms of vitamin B, B as in boy. There are 13 of them. They're all water soluble. It's very difficult to overdose on them. Still possible, but very difficult. But the four fat soluble ones, very easy to get too much of over extended period of time. Even with vitamin D, it won't happen in 3 months, but it may happen in a year. So it is important to stay in touch with your physician, especially if you're taking more than 1,000 or 2,000 units a day. For a lot of people, that's very safe, but they do get periodic and regular blood tests to make sure that they're hovering around 50 nanograms per liter. That's the number you need to remember. You don't want to go over 50 by too much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Well, you said three water soluble. You said C, B. What's the third one?
No, I'm sorry. Two water soluble ones. Just C, where this only comes one way, C, but B as in boy, comes in 13 different B forms, like B1, B2, yeah, B3, B6, B9.
Thank you.
B12, folic acid.
Thank you.
And so on. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And Anne, it's your turn to ask a question.
Enjoyed your presentation a lot. I do have a question. If I'm wearing sunscreen, will I get vitamin D?
Excellent question. Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot to mention that. Because remember, out of the UV light rays, it's not the A or the D or C, it's only the B as in boy, UVB rays of that wavelength. And anything with SPF 10 and higher will block UVB rays.
Oh.
Yes. And also, I last month was meeting with this lady, and her vitamin D level was down to about 10. And she asked me, how is that possible? I sit in my living room, and she overlooks a beautiful park in her living room, big bay windows. And she says, right here in the sun, in my living room, I make sure I'm here every morning, yet my vitamin D level is so low. And the reason is glass from the window filters out UVB rays as well. But you don't need that much even. If you go out for a stroll, just keep your arms uncovered for 15 to 20 minutes twice a week. That's enough to generate enough of your own vitamin D. Because today we're fearful of the sun, rightfully so. We don't want to get skin cancer. We'd rather be low in D and supplement with a vitamin D pill, which we can easily do, but we don't want to get skin cancer. So a lot of seniors are avoiding the sun, rightfully so. And so one in two seniors are low in vitamin D. Most physicians today who work with seniors regularly, when you go for your annual physical, they automatically do a blood test for vitamin D. I've seen it now. On the lab sheets, they just check that box automatically because they know that one in two seniors is low in vitamin D. Dave, I see you raised your hand. Did Dave raise his hand?
Yes, he did. Dave Sullivan, it's your turn to ask a question. Dave, can you hear us? Well, we'll come back to him if he gets back with his volume. Anyone else have a question for Dr. Liu?
I do. Dr. Liu?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you comment on this omega-3 DHA, EPA, now the doctors recommend? I mean, what's the purpose of that? What's the function?
Okay. There are three omega-3s that our bodies need. There's DHA and EPA. Those two come from animal source. And in this case, the animal is fish. And then there's one that comes from plant source, that's ALA, and that comes from things like walnuts, maybe flaxseed, and so on. But ALA will convert in your bodies to the other two, which is EPA and DHA. However, today, as we get older, that conversion is not very efficient. So that's why we go directly to take EPA and DHA, which comes in the form of omega-3 fish oil. Why is the sudden craze of taking fish oil, omega-3s? It's because our diets today are so out of whack. We should have a ratio between omega-3 and omega-6 and omega-9 at about a 5-to-1 ratio roughly, but it's way out of whack now because we eat out a lot, we buy prepared foods and so on, and they're very high in omega-6s and omega-9s. Those are the unhealthier fats, and they make food taste better, but they're not very good for health. So that ratio went out of whack. So very smart drug companies immediately say, well, you should start supplementing then with omega-3s to bring that ratio back to about 1 to 5. And that's why omega-3 nutritional supplements are the number one selling supplement in this country at this time. But the studies have been somewhat disappointing. The studies show that for if your levels of omega-3 are not that far out of whack, supplementing with them is not going to hurt you except in the pocketbook. It's not going to help you much either. If you were low in omega-3s, absolutely, you need to supplement. But if your levels were already adequate, it's a waste of money. Now, omega-3s have one clinically proven function that they're very good at, and that is to lower high levels of triglyceride. Mm-hmm. Not bad cholesterol, not good cholesterol, triglyceride, the third kind of fat that we test for. When your triglyceride is high, taking fish oil can bring it down very quickly. However, it's not the fish oil that you can buy at Costco. And I hope Costco doesn't sue me for saying that. It has to be the highly purified omega-3s. And so it's available by prescription, of which there are two on the market now by prescription, Vascepa and Lovaza. If your doctor notices your triglyceride is very high, he will take out that prescription pad and put you on those types of omega-3s. When you buy fish oil over the counter, it does have EPA and DHA, those two omega-3s, but unfortunately, it also brings in a whole bunch of other fats, glycerols and other things. It's not purified enough. So in a very roundabout way, I hope I answered your question, Margaret.
So what you're saying, you don't recommend over the counter.
Unless your omega-3 is low, and you can get tested for that. If they are low, it's definitely a good idea to. If your levels are okay, what the experts recommend is eating 3 ounces of fatty fish twice a week. That's more effective than taking the dietary supplement. The dietary supplement is not going to hurt you unless you take too much and if you're already on blood thinners. because omega-3s, dietary supplements, above 1,500 milligrams may thin the blood further. And if you're already on baby aspirin or Plavix or Xarelto or any Eliquis or Warfarin, you're going to thin your blood even more. So there is that danger. But if you keep it below 1,000 per day, it's still okay. It's just a waste of money. So, you know, you should go by what the studies say, that it really did not prevent cardiovascular adverse events on those people whose omega-3 levels were adequate. Now, if your triglycerides are high, that's a different matter. You definitely would need omega-3s, but then you need those by prescription.
Well, I appreciate your excellence since I'm into preventive medicine. So I'm just wondering, my doctor automatically, you know, but I want to know why and safety. And I appreciate your excellent answer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Bill, I was wondering, as we close out, if you would be able to share with us other services that people might be able to connect with you on, in terms of, I know that you used to do brown bags. I don't know how that is coming back, yes, or if it is.
Yeah, thank you, Meredith, for allowing me to put in the commercial at this time. Yeah, one of the services the county provides for our seniors is to send me out there to do one-on-one by appointment medication reviews. We call them brown bag med reviews.
You actually did it for my grandfather many years ago, so I know how wonderful it is to have that expertise.
Oh, great, thank you. And where when the pandemic was not here, we would make appointments at senior centers. I'd be there for a certain morning, mm-hmm, and everybody would make their appointments. Mm-hmm. And at the appointed time, they don't have to wait. They just come and see me for about half an hour, one-on-one. I also go to senior residences where seniors, yes, live. And we do it at health fairs. We do it at the senior church fellowships, just wherever seniors gather, and all by appointment. And I'm also on our start and shop teams. And those are behavioral health teams. When we get a referral for a senior who has behavioral health issues, we have clinicians, social workers who specialize in mental health. We have a public health nurse and the pharmacist. And we either go out as a team or alone, depending on what the need is, to actually make home visits and to review the patient's condition.
Are you able to do that for people experiencing homelessness as well?
Yes, well, they don't always keep their appointments, but we definitely do make those appointments, and they show up. We frequently met them at parks, uh-huh, or at the, okay, library. We do them as well. Yes, absolutely.
Great. And so I guess to follow up, is that going to be resuming, or are you able to do, yes, that now with social distancing?
Right. Some senior housing now has already resumed, okay, because they control their residents and they know who's been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And when they reach a certain percent of vaccinations, they've been opening up.
Okay.
I'll be going to a senior housing next month. And so some of them are opening up already. And I imagine, if Governor Newsom is right on track with his target of June 15th, opening the state up, I imagine then there'll be more of these events. And even now, some groups have put together a Zoom meeting, and then I will do a one-on-one Zoom with them, medication review.
Uh-huh. Well, it's so very, very valuable, because for all
Thank
of us
so
lay
much.
People, it's very confusing, and you shed light on everything that we should be looking for. So let's give Dr. Liu a round of applause. This was excellent as well.
Thank you so much. Yes.
We very much appreciated having you here.
It's been a pleasure.
Have a great day. Okay. And I hope that your computer is going to be okay after the exercise session.
The computer may not be, but I will be.
That's
Thank
right.
you, Meredith. Thank you so
Take
much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Wow, what a great day for health and nutrition. So many wonderful things for us to think about and implement in our own lives, all these little changes and shifts that we can make for healthier living. Mm-hmm. Now we are in item 8 in our agenda, which is announcements and roundtable discussions. So I wanted to see if any members had any announcements or anything that they would like to share at this time. Patty?
I just want to remind people that tomorrow is the first Master Plan on Aging event in Orange County. It will be highlighting initiatives 49 and 50 in the California Master Plan, which discuss increased and enhanced availability of palliative care and the importance of advanced directives and appropriate use of the POLST. If anybody needs that information, let's see, I guess you could email me. I'll put my email in the chat and I'll send you the registration link. How's that? It's at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we have almost 200 people registered.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And then I want you to mark your calendars for September 24th and November 5th. September 24th is an event that will be highlighting all of the senior centers in Orange County. It's a collaborative event spearheaded by the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative. And we are in the process of inviting the Office on Aging and SCAC to be co-hosts. But in the meantime, mark your calendars because it's proving to be a very, very interesting day. And we may well have Maddie Dykewald of AgeWave as our keynote speaker. So fingers crossed on that one. Then on November 5th is the Mastering the Master Plan event. This will be a bipartisan town hall opportunity with elected officials. We also have invited the Orange County Office on Aging and SCAC to participate as co-hosts. And it will be a major introduction and opportunity to give input on the implementation of the Orange County Master Plan on Aging, or the Orange County implementation of the California Master Plan on Aging. So mark those dates down and you'll get more information as we get a little bit closer.
Patty, quick question for you. At this point in time, I think I'm hearing that both of those events will be via Zoom. They will not be in-person events?
Actually, that's a great question, Nicolette. They will be hybrid events. Uh-huh. September 24th, we'll have 7 identified senior centers where people could go and watch the broadcast and interact with a small group of people. And we presume there'll still be some recommendations for social distancing at that time. So there, it will be a hybrid. The November 5th event also will be hybrid, and we are working out the details of where the pod sites will be throughout the county. So it'll be broadcast, but also with an opportunity to attend in person and watch the broadcast and interact with people there.
Terrific, thank you.
It's really exciting. I also wanted to share that yesterday I was on a telephone call or a Zoom meeting with the Department of Healthcare Services at the state level. They are talking about integrating the Master Plan for Aging with CalAIM, which is the initiative to re-envision Medi-Cal so that every county and people that are duly eligible with Medicare and Medi-Cal have the same services, including enhanced care management and in lieu of services. So I'll be keeping track of that and I can report back because that's really important. So many of our Medi-Cal beneficiaries are older. And so those two plans need to come together and be streamlined so we're not working at cross purposes. Margaret.
Tomorrow's meeting, I have a 7-9 o'clock meeting and I have another 10 o'clock meeting. So 9 o'clock meeting lasts how long? Patty.
Patty, you were on mute and so was I.
Sorry. Be 9 to 10:30.
Oh. Also, I would encourage everyone, if you don't have a LinkedIn account, it's easy to create one. If you do have one, I know I've seen Nicolette and Patty very active on LinkedIn. We can follow each other. That's where a lot of these announcements are made, and then we can repost them. And I wanted to encourage everyone to do that as well for our upcoming May meeting. As we saw today, we have excellent presenters and we want more people to be able to glean from this knowledge. So I will be getting the flyer together. If we have any volunteers that are better graphic artists than I am, please give me a holler today or tomorrow or the next day, but we'll get our flyer for May going soon. And that's going to be a presentation that's called Talk Saves Lives for Seniors. Nancy Cooper is going to be talking to us in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month. She's from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, the OC chapter. And we can get like a snapshot of our flyer that we can all post on our social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And that's another way for us to get more participation and get the words out for aging professionals and church groups and senior centers and also older adults that are interested. So I really want to encourage us to do that. Any other announcements or roundtable discussion?
I need some information. Patty, did you say November 25th? Is that our...
November 5th.
November 5th. Thank you, because it's... It's a holiday on the 25th. I needed to be corrected.
It's a Thursday, right?
Turkey Day.
Thank you.
Great question. I'm glad that we have those two dates down and we can just put those in our save the dates because it's important for us to all attend. And this master plan on aging is such a unique opportunity for us to move things forward, especially with our Orange County playbook. So I'm excited about those things. Well, let's move to number 9. We're running out of time here.
I do want to thank you very much for, you know, working out beautiful flyers, announcements. I think I sent it to all my college departments and different departments of the college, but Wednesday's a day of people are fully booked with lectures and
I know
so it's just a conflict, you know, so people couldn't attend, but you did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much, Margaret. I appreciate that. So now we are at number 9, which is public matters. At this time, members of the public may address our group regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on any off agenda items unless authorized by law, and comments are limited to 3 minutes. I know that we do have 2 attendees. I see Vivian Nguyen and then someone that called in. So I wanted to see if either of you would like to make a comment.
Called by college, Vivian.
Or introduce yourselves. Vivian, can you hear us?
Yeah, hi, sorry. I was muted.
No,
my name is Vivian Nguyen, and Ms. Margaret Huang have sent the invitation to me. And thank you, Margaret, for inviting me to this very informative webinar. I appreciate
it. Did you listen to the thing? Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, I did. I do have elderly parents and parents-in-law, so I know this is very beneficial information I can pass forward to them. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And Margaret, thank you so much for spreading the word.
She's my high-tech teacher.
Oh, great. And then I don't know who's calling in from the 949-637 number, but if you would like to unmute yourself, you're welcome to say hello. Well, we're glad that you're here. All right. Let's see. Well, that is, I think, it for our meeting. We took almost the whole 2 hours, which is great. Such wonderful information. Our next meeting, like I said, is May the 19th here on Zoom again at 1 p.m. And we are going to have our special presentation. And I know that so many people have been helping us line up these great speakers. I've sent out the calendar. So if you have any other ideas, we can have up to 2 presenters per meeting to really have a robust schedule. So please keep reaching out and letting people know that we would love for them to present. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. Have a great week, everyone.
You too.
Great job, Meredith.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Margaret. Bye-bye.